So Revelation chapter 3 then, verse 18. I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. The Lord's shop is our subject this evening. The Lord's shop. Here the Lord tells us he has a spiritual shop. A shop that supplies richly for all the spiritual needs of his people. And the Lord himself is the shopkeeper. I counsel thee to buy of me, he says. It's to him that the saint must go to trade in spiritual goods, not in material goods. So this image the Saviour brings to the Laodicean church, because of the renowned history of the city of Laodicea, because Laodicea was an important city of commerce. Several roads went through the city, intersected at the city. So it was an important place for trade. And there were a lot of very wealthy people who lived there. And there were very many shops. There were plenty of baths and stadiums, all those things that you find in the cities of Roman Empire. And it had its fair share of shops. It had the shopping centres. And it supplied the citizens practically with anything that could be found in the Roman Empire. There was no shortage. And the church of the Laodiceans participated in that planting. They were a very wealthy church. And they enjoyed that wealth. And they thought that they had increase of goods and needed nothing. They were so well off. It had done so well. But spiritually, the Lord Jesus told it, it was poor. And the Lord counsels them to visit his shop. The Lord has a shop in Laodicea. And he counsels them to visit his shop and to visit him. And to take an interest in the higher trading. Now we all know, men and women, that the soul needs supplies as well as the body. We work hard at labouring up treasure on earth, but how much have we worked at laying up treasure in heaven and being rich toward God and rich in the things of God? And so I want to think with you about this shop tonight that richly supplies our souls. Now I may add that this shop has all that we could ever need for our spiritual wealth. Everything is in it. In Christ's kingdom, everything is available in it. And it can be obtained here by the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who's bought it all. Every spiritual blessing for his people with his own blood. So it's fully stocked. It's well stocked up with spiritual supplies. It's a shop that never runs done. And it's open 24 hours a day. And it's especially busy on the Sabbath day. There's no shop like it. It's a blessed place. And it's still the same shop today as it was nearly 2,000 years ago in Laodicea. It's still the same, whereas all those Laodicean shops have perished and just the foundations of them are visited and archaeology remains. So let me take you into this shop tonight. The Lord's shop.
And I want to tell you about some texts that are in the windows and on the doors of this shop to see how well advertised it is. Because the Lord would draw people into the shop. Isn't that how you get people drawn into the shop? You put the adverts out on the window and you get them, you know, interested and get them hooked to go in to buy. Well, there's texts in this shop that encourages the people of God to go in and to deal with Jesus Christ. One of the texts is, "My God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus." He's in this shop, and all that you need is found in the riches of glory and is obtained by Christ Jesus. So that's above the door. And there's another advert, and it says, "He that hath no money, come ye, buy and eat. Yea, come buy wine and milk without money and without price." That gets them in, doesn't it? If you have no money. If the shopkeeper put that outside his door, the shelves would soon be empty, wouldn't it? There'd be nothing left in this shop. They'd be knocking everybody over to get into the shop. The police would have to be there for the rat that there would be. But the Jesus Christ shop is like that. You don't need money. Just need a desire. Just come. And what riches there are available to us by faith. There's another text in the window. "Whatsoever we ask, we receive of him." You have to believe these whenever you go into trade with Jesus Christ. You have to plead these promises and believe them. "Whatsoever we ask, we receive of him." And then there's another verse there. It's a testimonial. "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." That's David's testimonial. You know, they have some testimonials advertising a place. "Yeah, this is a good shopping place. This is how I done well in here." And there's testimonials. David's testimonial. "The Lord's my shepherd. I've never wanted. Anytime I've come into this shop, he supplied my need. Everyone that asketh, receiveth." There's another advert. Just come in and ask, and you'll receive. "Ask, and it shall be given you" is all over the place. Every desk you go to, every shop stall in the store, ask and ye shall receive. That's the kind of advertising and promises and things that go on in this shop. It's blessed. "Buy the truth and sell it not." The living God who giveth us richly all things to enjoy. And on we could go. Text of scripture all over the place. Every encouragement from God's word to trade in here. Whatever you need, whatever you lack, it's all there. "Giveth liberally to all men and upbraideth not." The shopkeeper's not going to scold you. He's not going to be afraid to be asked for something that he doesn't have. You can bargain with him and he'll not get cross. He gives liberally and he doesn't upbraid. Now, I know this is all imagery tonight. I'm kind of using John Bunyan's methodology. I was starting to read John Bunyan's Pilgrim's Progress again. Maybe that's what's happened. I've been smitten and I've got into his way of thinking. But it's only a picture. But it's a picture of reality, isn't it? It's a picture of something that's great and spiritually true. And the Lord Jesus is able and willing to supply us all that we need to live the Christian life. The Lord's shop. And in one of the windows there's a special painting. It's a painting of the Lord Jesus Christ with his disciples whenever he was on the earth. And he has them all around him. And he's pictured there and he's asking them a question. When I sent you out, he says, did you lack anything? Did you lack anything? And they're all putting up their hands and said, nothing, Lord, nothing. There's no lack from this shopkeeper for his people. There's no lack if they'll come and fall at his footstool. There's no lack if they'll come to a stall, richly supplying all things. We have not because we ask not. That's the reality. Because it's all in the shop. Let's enter into it then. And as we enter into the shop, we discover it's actually a department store. And it has several stores. At least the Lord tells us about several stores in the text. There's far more than several. But he tells us about several of them in the text. There's first of all the department store with the gold. I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich. This is the gold that makes wealthy. This is the bank. This is where you have the treasures laid up. This is where you have those jewellery boxes where you keep all the goods for safety and you can go in and out and collect. Well, the Lord has a department like that. A jewellery department. A bank. The rich treasures to enrich all God's people. There's gold and you can have it. That you may be rich. That you may be spiritually wealthy. That's what the Lord says. It says it here. This is the kind of shop he has. You can get gold. The department store with all the precious nuggets and the precious gold of truth and promises and doctrines. And then there's the draper store. Because the Lord says, and white raiment. Laodicea is famous for its rich clothing. Especially rich black clothing. But this draper store doesn't have black clothing. God doesn't dress his people in black, but it has white raiment. White raiment that is covering the shame of the saints. White raiment that will beautify them. And all these glorious raiments and garments. So there's the draper's department store in this shop. And then there's a much needed pharmacy. Oh, what would we do without the Lord's chemist? Without the Lord's ointments and medicines for the soul. And he says, anoint thine eyes with eye salve that thou mayest see. So praise the Lord, there's an end that deals with our maladies. An end that deals with our blindness. And whatever other maladies of the soul. So these are only three of the departments in this great store of Jesus Christ. And people of God, the Saviour has all that we could ever need. Do you know that? All that you will ever need and that you'll face in life. He said, all there for you and for me. Are we poor in faith? Well, you can go in here and trade. Are you poor in love? Are you poor in courage? He can enrich us in all these areas. Are we lacking graces? Do we lack the garment of humility? Do we lack the garment of praise? Do you not have a garment of praise? You can go in here and get a garment of praise. You can obtain it from Jesus. Just ask him for it. I mean, really, sincerely ask him for it. Don't play around with the Lord Jesus in this shop. If you ask and you receive. If you really want it and serious and do business with Jesus Christ. He'll give you the garment of praise. If you ask him, he can supply us with all of these. Have we terrible ailments? Terrible maladies of the soul, spiritual blindness? Like Laodicea? He's got eye salve for that. Is there hardness? Is there a hardness? He's got oils to soften us. Are there growths and tumours breaking through out of our soul? Maybe envy, or lust, or pride. Just something that's nasty and shouldn't be in a Christian. Nasty tumour that's... The Lord has all the ointments to soften it and to eventually remove it. This great physician has everything that we need in this shop. But for the time remaining, I just want to focus on that gold that is described as being in Christ's shop. Now, there are two things that are said about this gold. The first thing is that it is tried in the fire. That's the kind of gold I give you. Gold that's tried in the fire. You can have it. And then, that means it's 100% gold. It means it's the real thing, the genuine article. It's the best gold. The gold of Ophir, if you like, in the Old Testament. Gold tried in the fire. And then the second thing about this gold is what it does. It makes rich. By this gold of me tried in the fire, that's a very important word, that thou mayest be rich. And so this is what this gold does. It makes us wealthy. Not the kind of wealthiness that Laodicea has, which is in the main a material wealth. This is a spiritual wealth. This is the riches of glory. And the riches that they're lacking very much in their congregation and in their own private personal lives. Now, what could this gold be? What's the Lord talking about? Well, as I said, all the imagery from the book of the Revelation is drawn from the Old Testament. And if you know your Old Testament, you'll not get confounded or confused studying the book of the Revelation. Just put all the commentaries, most of the commentaries I say, just read your Old Testament and you'll understand the book of Revelation pretty well. What is this gold? It's certainly known what this gold is from the songbook of Israel, from the Psalter, because the songs of Israel talk about it and sing about it quite a bit. Psalm 19, for example, tells us about the law of the Lord, that it's perfect, that it converts the soul, that it makes wise the simple, that the Lord's statutes are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, and his judgments are true and righteous altogether. And he's talking about God's word. And he says, more to be desired are they than gold. So God's word is like gold. Much fine gold, the Bible says. More to be desired is God's word than much fine gold. Take both those words, fine gold and much of it. But God's word is more valuable than that. And whenever the Lord Jesus is talking about gold tried in the fire, he's talking about his word, his promises. Oh, they'll enrich you. He's talking about his word. The law of thy mouth, Psalm 119, is better unto me than thousands of gold. I love thy commandments above gold. Yea, above fine gold. And the proverb says, receive my instruction and not silver, and knowledge rather than choice gold. So the reference we can take to God's word as Holy Scripture. God's word is in his shop. And we can trade with him in that department and become wealthy as we obtain the gold. The finest gold, the choice gold, well-tried gold. From him. The words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified seven times.
That's what God's word's like. It's been through the fires of the Holy Spirit 7 times. And it's the purest, finest gold you'll ever find in the universe. It's been through the fire of the Holy Ghost, so that when it comes out of the prophet's pen, it's the pure word of God. So that's what the Lord is talking about here. His word. Oh, his precious word. But not only has it been tried by the fires of the Holy Ghost that have made it a pure word and maintained it as a pure word, it's also been through the fires of men as well. That's what the Lord says here. Gold has been tried in the fire. Men have tried it. Men have literally burned it. In fact, there's a whole history book that could be written about the attack on the Bible. That would be a great book. It would be a thick volume, I could tell you. 2,000 years of history. The attack on the Bible. And it's still here. It's gold tried in the fire. Didn't melt. Didn't disappear. Didn't evaporate. You can still go into the shop of Jesus Christ and trade in it. It's here. It's been through the critics' fire. It's been through the fires of the Roman Empire when they were burning the scriptures. It's been through all the other fires that men have ignited to destroy the word of God, and still stands pure and still is maintaining its infallible incorruption. But notice, this scripture and holy word of God must be obtained through Christ. Buy of me, he says. You know, people get their Bibles from the publishers, but that's not enough. It's not enough to get your Bible from the publisher. And we have good Bible publishers with the Trinitarian Bible Society. But some people, that's all they've got. They've got their Bible from the publisher. Or they've gone down to the Christian bookshop and they've got their Bible from the bookseller in the Christian bookshop. And that's all they've done. That's all they've got. That's not enough. When we come to the Bible, we have to trade with Jesus Christ. It's not going to become gold to us, enriching us and making us wealthy spiritually because we bought it off the TBS. You can buy 100 Bibles off them. You can fill your whole house with Bibles. You can even read them. But you have to trade with Jesus Christ in the text. The word has to come not from the printer and the publisher, but it has to come from the Holy Spirit. To make it a living word that will profit your soul and make you rich. So there's something more than the letter, men and women. You know that. There's the accompanying spirit. And that comes from Jesus Christ. Not the publishers. Not the bookshops. That comes from Christ's shop. From him. It is not just the authorized version or a good translation, but from him it is the sword of the Spirit. From him. From him it is the word of God that liveth and abideth forever and is quicker and sharper than any two-edged sword. From him, in the Spirit's hand, the sword of the Spirit, and it's only in Christ's shop where you encounter the word of God in that way. Otherwise, it's a closed book and a powerless book. It only becomes living at the feet of Jesus Christ. And so we need to trade with Christ to obtain the gold of Holy Scripture. And so when we come to our Bibles, men and women, in church, in private, or in family, we must do commerce with Christ around it. And we must look to him. And we must ask him for its blessing upon our souls. And that he will profit our hearts by the text of Scripture.
And so whenever you come to the Bible, trade with Jesus Christ to get the gold out of it. You see, commentaries and ministers and expositors and preachers, they only cause you to profit from the Word as Christ is present with them and with you. There is no profit from the Scriptures without Christ. Buy of me, he says. Look to me that you may obtain the gold that will enrich you. So do you see what God's word is then? Gold from Christ. And do you see what it does? It makes rich. It will cause you to be fat and flourishing in God's house. And in old age, still bringing forth fruit. That's what God's word does for you. One of the things it does to make us rich in is faith. The Bible talks about being rich in faith. Buy of me gold that you may be rich. And you have to ask the Lord, well, rich in what, Lord? And then we have to look in the Scriptures. Well, what can you be rich in Scripture? And one of them is faith. Rich in faith. Hath not God chosen the poor of this world rich in faith and heirs of the kingdom? So faith itself is called in the Bible something that's more precious than gold, just like the Bible. The Bible's more precious than gold. And faith. The Bible says faith is more precious than gold. And it is. The two most precious things that you could possess is God's word and the faith that believes it. And whenever that word comes to you, it brings faith to you, because that enriches you with faith. What does the Lord say? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. You see, true faith in this world passes through many fires and trials. And only if it is gold does it survive. And only if it's gold, when it goes through all those trials and fires, it comes out purer and stronger. Only true faith is like that. And you only get true faith from the Bible. Faith comes by hearing. It doesn't come out of your heart. It doesn't develop out of your heart. It comes with the Word. It comes from God, and it accompanies the Word. And as the Word is received in your heart, faith is born and faith is strengthened. And so it's something that it enriches us with. The Word enriches us with faith. It sustains our faith. Brethren and sisters, we need faith. We need faith whenever difficulties come, whenever the devil attacks us. We need faith. Better to be a pauper and rich in faith. But it enriches a Christian in so many other ways as well, the Bible. It sanctifies us and makes us holy, doesn't it? It makes saints Christ-like. That's a rich thing that money can't buy. You don't get Christ-likeness in the world's beauty parlors. No matter how much you pay. Christ-likeness is only found in his shop and through the soul-changing efficacy of God's word. Isn't that what Paul said? Looking into the mirror of the word. Changed from glory to glory as you see the image of the Lord. You know, when you go into the shop and trade in the go with Jesus Christ, it's a soul-transforming encounter. Every time. Bit by bit, you become more like Jesus. Because Jesus prays that. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. And so the Bible makes us rich in Christ-likeness and makes us rich in doing Christ-like works. Wasn't that one of the things that pastors have to teach the flock? Remember, especially to rich people in the flock, remember how Paul said to Timothy, he says concerning the rich, that he was to remind them that they do good and that they be rich in good works, ready to distribute, willing to communicate. And so that's true, that the Word of God makes us rich in good works. Remember how the Lord Jesus said, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. It's the Bible alone that enables us to do that, because it shows what good works are. Not something that you imagine are good works that you've made up and you think it's God's service. No, it's the Bible shows us what real good works are. It provides the motives and the incentives to do those works and gives all the arguments why we should engage in them. And not only that, the Bible empowers us to do them with Christ-likeness and humility.
It encourages us in that regard, and it promises us the assistance in good works. So this training and this goal will make us rich in good works. And as we're driven on by the Word of God, through good works, we lay up treasures in heaven. That's wealth. When we're laying it up in heaven and are rich toward God, and moths and robbers can't get in and it all decay and be stolen away. Another thing that the Bible talks about is rich in mercy. It says God is rich in mercy. Buy of me gold that you may be rich. And one of the things God is rich in is mercy. And of course, God's people want to be godlike. And God's people want to become rich in mercy too. And so whenever we're reading and studying and benefiting from Scripture and becoming more Christ-like, we trust that it's in this area of grace and mercy and forgiveness. And whenever we're merciful, and whenever we can truly say, Our Father, forgive us our sins as we forgive all them that have sinned against us, when we can truly and heartily say that, and even pray for those who are our enemies, and desire their good, whenever we become truly merciful in spirit and become rich in mercy, then we know that we are profiting from God's Word. It's making us rich. You remember the parable of the unmerciful servant? You remember that story, how the Lord forgave him, and it was a big debt, and how he got peace again, and how he was restored, and how he didn't have to worry about that debt anymore. It was just so wonderful. But then he met a fellow servant who owed him just a little pittance, really. And he lost a head. And he got angry, and he had no kindness and no meekness and no humility. There was no niceness about him at all. Just a nasty man. He wasn't rich, was he? He lost all. He lost everything. He remained poor. The gold of God's Word should melt us and humble us and take away the proud, arrogant spirit and make us meek and lowly and forgiving. And so if we find an unmerciful spirit in us, we have indeed to go back into the shop and do business across the counter with Jesus Christ. And we need to say, Lord, give me a humble soul, a meek and lowly spirit like you, as I read about you in the gold nuggets of the Word. May I become wealthy in Christ's likeness.
So these are just a few wee thoughts on the kind of business that goes on in the Lord's shop. Let us pray then.